This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A home for helium. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. government owns a reserve of helium, and later today it's going to reveal bids by private companies hoping to take that reserve off the government's hands. There is a finite amount of helium on the planet, and yes, it's used for party balloons and Macy's parade floats, but it is also critical for MRI machines, rocket fuel, and semiconductors, and industries that rely on it have been pushing for the government to delay the sale, as Marketplace's Henry Epp reports.
The federal helium system in Amarillo, Texas, supplies over 20% of the country's helium, according to the Bureau of Land Management. A lot of its infrastructure dates to the Cold War era. The feds have been planning to sell the reserve to private industry since 1996, yet it's only in the last few years that the sale process has actually ramped up, though it's been delayed several times. But groups representing the medical device, semiconductor, and aerospace industries, which all rely on the noble gas, want it to be delayed even longer. In a letter to the Biden administration last fall, they warned that a sale could disrupt the country's supply of helium, which could, quote, bring industrial growth to a halt. But right now, the sale process is moving ahead. The government will unveil bids it received at 2 p.m. Central Time today. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
The International Court of Justice is expected to rule tomorrow on whether to order an interim stop to the war in Gaza as it decides the larger question of whether Israel is carrying out a state-led genocide there, as South Africa alleges. A ruling would be symbolic, as the court has no way to enforce it. Part of the evidence South Africa has presented involves the level of destruction of civilian infrastructure in Gaza. Lily Jamali from Marketplace Tech has this report on how that destruction is mapped out.
Israel says it's targeting Hamas militants, not Palestinian civilians, in response to the deadly Hamas attack on October 7th. But more than 25,000 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli strikes. And data compiled by researchers finds that nearly half the buildings in Gaza have been damaged or destroyed. Jamin Vandenhoek is a geographer at Oregon State.
Virtually every neighborhood has been hit. Every refugee camp has likely been hit or damaged. There have been lots of reports on hospitals, schools being damaged, so it's very widespread.
Vandenhoek and his partners have performed their damage analysis based on the European Space Agency's Copernicus Sentinel-1 satellite data. A few weeks ago, they determined that the potential damage in Gaza exceeded 100,000 buildings. That's an assessment that South Africa cites in its ICJ complaint against Israel. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
People experiencing homelessness who are living out of their cars need a safe place to park where they won't get robbed or harassed. There are organizations that provide safe parking places, but they've been hard to fund. Later today, House lawmakers will unveil bipartisan legislation to help with this. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Advocates say people living in vehicles often have not yet experienced the worst of homelessness, but they still need a lot of help to prevent sliding further into the margins of society.
No one ever wanted to be homeless, but as long as I had a van, I didn't call myself homeless.
That's 72-year-old Jan, who asked that we only use her first name. Jan was without a permanent home for 10 years after retiring from a graphic design career and burning through her savings while living in Santa Barbara, a California enclave with a serious affordable housing shortage.
Out in the streets, you know, my van was broken into a few times. Laptops, phones were taken. Always looking for a place to park where no one would bother me.
Jan eventually found New Beginnings, a nonprofit that runs a number of homeless programs, including a monitored overnight parking program, often at donated church-owned lots where there's also a bathroom, sometimes a place to shower, a place to do laundry.
Probably at least 50%, maybe even slightly higher, of the people that are enrolled in the Safe Parking Program are senior citizens.
Cora Patton is a case manager at New Beginnings.
We've also had a huge influx of families with small children.
New Beginnings pioneered the idea of providing overnight parking 20 years ago today. Others around the country are trying to replicate it, but the organization's executive director, Christine Schwarz, says there's often a major barrier.
One of the first questions that we receive from people who reach out for technical assistance is, how do you pay for this? There is no dedicated funding for this kind of population.
That's because the Department of Housing and Urban Development can only fund physical shelters. Democratic Congressman Salud Carbajal, along with two fellow California lawmakers, a Republican and a Democrat, plans to introduce a bill next week to change the rules.
My goal is to create a sense of support and bipartisanship so that people clearly understand that it benefits us all to help intervene those that find themselves in this circumstance.
Carbajal has tried to federally fund safe parking programs before without success. This time, he's not asking for new funding, but the ability to redirect existing money.
It costs more to get people back on their feet, so it's cost effective to be able to intervene and provide this service and program before people become fully homeless.
Intervene because safe parking also comes with other help, as it did for Jan.
New Beginnings, and say, found me an apartment. I've been here almost 3 years now. You know, it's like I was given life back.
New Beginnings says its parking program costs a fraction of what it spends on aiding the homeless population at large. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.